long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. And now John 10:31-39. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, justice is undoubtedly a matter high on the agenda of politicians and would-be officials these days, isn't it? Just think of the row that developed in connection with the elevation of our most recent Supreme Court justice. And would you like to have a nickel for every accusation of racism that is being heard from every quarter of our agitated and upset country? The subject is of supreme importance, actually, not only in election years, but all the time. And it is well for us Christians to be aware of what God in His Word has to say about justice and about those who exercise it. Now we turn our attention to Psalm 82, which provides us with exactly that. God, the judge of all the earth, because of mankind's fall into sin, has instituted a system of justice whereby earthly judges are charged by him to defend the weak and disabled from oppression by the wicked. That's what the psalm says. And in order to take that apart, I have 3 points. And the first one is the purpose of earthly justice. For that, we have to turn to verses 3 and 4 initially. Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. That's the purpose of earthly justice. Now, what is the origin of earthly justice? Why is it needed? It has become inevitable because of the fall of mankind in Adam and the universal proliferation of sin. Otherwise, justice would not be needed. There will be no concept of or purpose for justice in the eternal kingdom upon the new earth, because then there will be no sin there. But for now, And until Jesus returns again to this old earth, sin produces injustice. Injustice yields weak and fatherless people. Countless billions are afflicted and destitute. And all these ones need deliverance from the hand of the wicked. Now, this was not immediately apparent right after the fall. And originally, the Lord God himself formed the position of judge. For instance, when Cain, the very firstborn of the second human generation, rose up and slew his younger brother Abel, God meted out appropriate justice upon Cain. Cain's punishment was not capital, which was later prescribed for judges to decree in the case of murder. But it was so extreme still that Cain cried out, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." He would no longer be able to harvest food from the ground he might work. And thus, as a fugitive and wanderer on the earth, Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. There would be no covenant of grace for Cain, and he would perish everlastingly with the wicked. Still, earthly justice was not an ordinance of God for mankind immediately after the fall. It would come sometime later. For then, by the time of the 11th generation after Adam, in the days of Noah, things had deteriorated upon the earth because of mankind's widespread and grievous sin, so much that Genesis 6, 11, and 12 record the situation in these startling and sober words. "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." Still, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation, who walked with God. Thus, when God destroyed the human race in the flood because the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, he accepted Noah, E-X, not A-C-C. He accepted Noah and his family, saving them in the ark. And in order that the covenant of grace, which the Lord had promised to Adam and Eve, would eventuate, God determined to institute a system of earthly justice to protect the human race, lest it should once more wipe itself out through perpetual and widespread sinning. And we get Genesis 9, 5 through 7, which forms the preamble, as we might call it, for justice. Listen to these foundational words. "From his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image." Yes, capital punishment from now on. I know that capital punishment has fallen into the dustpan of history by now, chucked there by man's unwillingness to accept such brutality as it is characterized as God's will for the inhabited earth. But it is his will. It remains the ultimate punishment for earthly justice and includes after it all lesser restraints and judicial results of sin, such as incarceration, fining, and the like. But there it is, right there in Genesis 9, the purpose of earthly justice meted out by earthly man. Judges. Simply stated, God will not permit his creation, particularly his chief creation, mankind, to utterly disintegrate and disappear through worldwide suicide, unrestrained by any force that might otherwise check it. Now, this God-ordained structure of earthly justice was thus raised to a position of prominence, particularly in the social order of Israel, God's elect church of the Old Testament days. Thus, we have a whole division of sacred scripture, denominated by the title Judges. They were not kings, but still special deliverers of the Jewish people in days that threatened their extinction. They had power and were enabled by God to accomplish great things, such as Samson, all by himself, and Gideon, who needed 300. But they were not especially godly men, and they had their faults, big ones. Still, God made them judges to execute justice, especially upon any surrounding nation that threatened Israel's existence. Sin, wickedness, oppression, and affliction of weak Judah would not be permitted by Yahweh to negate his covenant purpose that would one day be fulfilled through a Messiah who would be the ultimate judge of the earth and who would, by his own saving work, separate out from mankind a people destined for deliverance. The gates of the city were the places where judges delivered their decisions and sentences in those days. Samson even pulled up the gates of the Philistine capital, indicating his indictment upon the crooked justice meted out there. So much for your justice. Out go your gates. The husband of the righteous wife, memorialized in Proverbs 31, was himself, you guessed it, a judge. Quote, known in the gates where he sits among the elders of the land. All these judges are called by Psalm 82, verses 3 and 4, to do what? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. That, my friends, is justice. Secondly, the indictment of earthly judges. For that, we go back to verses 1 and 2. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. He holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Justice is their task, but apparently they are failing miserably in it. They certainly did in Asaph's day, and I doubt that any of you would want to contend that America's 21st century version of justice is completely free of criticism. Israel's judges apparently were not doing their jobs without fail, and neither are judges in our day. Unjust judgment and the showing of partiality to the wicked are both accusations supported by fact in all cultures, both then and now. Well, just how seriously does the God of heaven and earth take this situation? Asaph answers, very much so. Right at the outset of his psalm, God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. What is this? The true God sitting together with false deities in some sort of divine supreme court, with a whole group together delivering justice? No way. It might appear so upon first reading, but nothing could be further from the truth. Asaph, in this description, is talking about earthly justice and human judges, whom he calls gods. He calls them gods because they serve in a role of authority that is godlike. And the reason why he designates the nature of their activity as that of a divine council is that the true and living God is right there with them. Yes, God has taken his place in the midst of earthly judges. That's exactly how seriously he takes their roles in holding judgment. And the way they execute their task does not escape his all-seeing eye. Listen to verse 2. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? They were in their day guilty of failing miserably. In the words of the prophet many years later, Isaiah 1:17, to, quote, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause, unquote. Their failure is of such importance that it cannot be cast aside as irrelevant. No wonder that Asaph inserts another Selah right after verse 3, which, as we have earlier indicated in connection with previous psalms, means you better jolly well think about this. Justice is critical. The Lord God, through his prophet poet Asaph, in our psalm, calls upon the judges of Israel to mend their ways and fulfill their purpose so clearly set forth in verses 3 and 4. Now, how exactly those Israelite judges were failing in their divinely appointed task is not stated. We cannot be certain specifically. But perhaps, like the Ammonites, they too excused the murder of the weak for material gain, which was soundly condemned by the prophet in his words, Amos 1:13. They have ripped open pregnant women in Gilead that they might enlarge their border. That was abortion, murder of the infants, and presumably of the mothers as well. And all for gain. Harsh and gruesome words like that cannot help but direct our minds to things that are happening today in America. Who but full-term unborn, and yes, even post-born infants, whose abortion or murder is nothing less than premeditated murder, qualify for the designation the weak and the needy? Boy, are they that. Not to mention conceived infants at any age in the womb, presumably safe there in their mother's womb, who are aborted for no God-authorized reason. Are they not equally weak and needy? Do they not all need to be delivered from the hand of the wicked? And do not the judicatories of our land, indeed our judges, from the lowest county designation right up to our Supreme Court, need to give them justice? Millions upon millions need rescuing, my friends. You may not stand by and gaze passively upon this horrific situation. Support CareNet, an organization that is working full tilt to provide godly counsel to expectant mothers who might consider abortion, and material assistance to birth mothers who need help in caring for their infants. And pray. Pray that God would yet turn this sorry nation of ours from the brink of disaster into which so many have already fallen. Still, opposition to abortion is not alone the needful application of this text. What about others who face not abortion, but disabilities of various sorts? Are they not also in need of deliverance? Take a look at the most recent issue of New Horizons, our denominational magazine. Have you seen it? Do you get it in your mailbox? Copies are distributed free to members and friends of the OPC. Even a free PDF subscription is also available. Turn to that issue to find ways and means to give love and support to such disabled ones and their families. Thirdly, the result of failed earthly justice, verses 5 through 7. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are God, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. The fact is that unjust judges suppose that they have superior wisdom to God's revealed will. But verse 5 says they have neither knowledge nor understanding. See, it's not how much they know, but whether whatever they know accords with what God has said is so and ought to be or not be. The only way for judges to unscrew the tangles of earthly life, whether personal or social, is brought about searching the Word of God to uncover His truth and thus understand how to put things right again. Furthermore, unjust judges who ignore or even despise God's revelation of what is right and wrong. By the way, Sinai's Ten Commandments form a summary of the entirety of ethical morality. They walk about in darkness and therefore cannot find their way. But more so, they cannot be expected to lead others aright. That explains their habitually unjust judgments. But worse yet, note the effect of their behavior upon the society of mankind and even upon the world itself. The words of verse 5c are frightful. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. When godly judgment is not perpetuated, when unjust judges ignore or overturn God's revealed will, the entirety of earthly existence, whether human, animal, or even material, is shaken to the core. Why ever do you think that 10 plagues descended upon Egypt? Why did the bubonic plague wipe out scores of Western European millions? Why was the 20th century characterized by multiple wars of uncalculable magnitude? Why ever? Historians mumble and muse for answers, but Psalm 82 cuts through with this startling explanation. The absence of justice shakes the very foundations of the earth. So don't be surprised if the Roe versus Wade decision results in consequences that cannot be imagined even now. What's coming? The embracing of abortion on demand, and even more, the murder of live infants, has and will have unavoidable results. You can bet on it. For one thing, and basically, such judicial failure seeks to and does deprive God of his heritage. Psalm 127:3 says it unmistakably. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Whose heritage? Whose reward? His. Not just the parents' reward. God makes babies, my friends, and do not suspect that he is unconcerned when they are disposed of. He will act, and when he does, the earth will shudder. Do these earthly judges, these gods, have authority? You bet they do. In verse 6, Asaph, speaking for the Almighty, says of them, "You are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you." But the question will not down. Is authority, their authority, alone of any value? God answers in verse 7 by offering this warning. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. When judges fail to execute godly justice, their decisions and judgments will evaporate. They will fall to the ground like an overturned ruler hazarded by revolution. In fact, they themselves ultimately will be covered by the ground, because as God warns in due time, like men, you shall die. Congregation, at this point, I want to read a rather long passage from the prophet Hosea, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. If you would like to turn to it, Hosea 4, 1 through 9. Because this passage forms an absolutely precise commentary on Psalm 82, verses 5 through 7. Listen. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and all who dwell in it languish, and also the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens, even the fish of the sea are taken away. Yet let no one contend, and let none accuse, for with you is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day, the prophet also shall stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people. They are greedy for their iniquity. And it shall be like people, like priest. I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. No comment. I could have just said, here's my sermon on Psalm 82, and then read that passage. Hosea closes with a prayer, which describes the success of divine judgment in verse 8. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. You see, someone might conclude after reading the psalm so far, before verse 8, that this whole indictment of the unjust judges is for Israel alone, God's people. And thus they conclude that you just can't mix politics and religion. Such a position is pretty well established in our nation today, though it certainly wasn't over many centuries, especially in the nations of Western Europe. But today in the USA, evangelicals are roundly threatened to keep their Bibles out of the national political debate or suffer the consequences at the voting place. And that's a real pity, because God does have something to say about the way we behave as a nation, and especially here in Psalm 82, about how our judicial system functions and deliberates. True, the USA is not a nation directed by and answerable to the Christian church. But at the same time, it is a nation that cannot escape religion. Yes, the true religion. Psalm 82, verse 8, makes very clear that the true and living God is the judge of all the earth. He is God over all, universally. Nothing and no one can escape his ownership, for he shall inherit all the nations. All people on this planet belong to the Lord God. And the kind of jurisprudence that he has ordained for all earthly inhabitants is answerable to him. Children of believers and unbelievers alike. He is the creator of all, and he is the judge of all. Thus, he will not stand by and allow the kind of gross misbehavior identified by Psalm 82 in the realm of jurisprudence, and particularly of the behavior of judges erected to conduct it, to go on unobserved. God will judge. Make no mistake about it. Don't take my word for it, but rather listen to the prophet who's speaking for the Lord in Isaiah 13, says, I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken out of its place at the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. I just wish that TV news commentators reporting on the abortion debate raging in our midst had the courage to quote Isaiah here. I know, they would be silenced before they got too far in the words, and immediately canned. I know. But there would be some compliments of what they've done or tried to do. Some expressions of gratitude and thanks forthcoming from more than a few Americans who still believe in Psalm 82. Meanwhile, till that happens, it's not the case that there is nothing for you to do. You can thank God that many in government office today are willing to sacrifice support for contending for the truth. You can pray that God would give them courage to persist, especially our Supreme Court, when it faces cases in which Roe versus Wade will be appealed to in support of abortion on demand. Implore God for his mercy and then work to bring about change at the ballot box and in support of agencies that stand against the gross evils that characterize this land of the free and the home of the brave. Amen.